All right, so this is Kevin Yates, and I want to welcome everybody who's listening to this call. And today I have a very special guest, my good friend Rick Selch. And Rick is an expert in dealing with injuries, and not just in injuries, but getting exercises for injuries. So Rick has spent a lot of time doing a lot of fitness education courses having to do with rehabilitation of various injuries, upper body and lower body. And, I think it was about a couple weeks or not a couple weeks, a couple years or so ago, but Rick and I did an interview where we talked a lot about muscle imbalances and injuries of the lower body. So we got into issues involving knee problems and assessments and certain exercises that we would do. And it went really well. And, you know, now Rick has put some time aside, and he's going to spend some time with us today, and we're going to talk a little bit more about muscle imbalances and injuries and exercises involving the upper body. So, Rick, I just want to thank you for giving us some of your time, and welcome you aboard.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for the invite, and I'm glad I can share some information.
All right. Well, speaking of that, before we get into it, Rick, if you could just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself for those of them out there who aren't familiar with you.
Yeah, so my name is, like you said, Kevin, my name is Rick Selch. What I kind of focus in on is designing exercise programs for people with injuries. Prior to graduating from university, I really enjoyed and had a lot of success with clients that had injuries or had previous injuries or had, aches and pains that needed to be addressed. So I kind of focused in on that. And, after graduating, I ended up working in a variety of settings like personal training studio, rehab center, physical therapy clinic, recreation center. And I ended up kind of focusing in on the clients that, that had the injury side of things. And after spending a few years doing that, I headed back to school and got my master's degree, focusing in on, corrective exercise and exercise rehabilitation when it comes to the rotator cuff. And now what I do is I teach a variety of courses to fitness professionals when it comes to how to design exercise programs for injuries. And I do a bunch of writing. I have a very active blog called exercisesforinjuries.com. I train people and help them with their injuries. And, that's kind of, my background.
Nice. Well, and you know what? And that's really something that I've been talking about it for a long time, in that I think, fitness professionals who are out there, personal trainers, this is something that it's an area that is so much more needed. Back in 2000, I was just getting started as personal trainer, and I talk about this a lot, that this was a time where people that I just started noticing, people were coming in and, they were dealing with more than, just needing to lose some weight or get in better shape, quote unquote. They were dealing with, a lot of them had nagging injuries that they were needing somebody who at least had an idea of what they were going through to help them along, not necessarily diagnosing an injury, but being able to work with them to help them overcome that in order for them to achieve other fitness goals that they had.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that's, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I mean, definitely. I had the exact same experience as you. I looked at the clients that I really enjoyed with and had success with, and it was the ones that kind of had injuries, previous injuries, aches and pains that needed to be dealt with, and I found that no one else in the gym really wanted them or were interested in taking care of them, so I did.
Yeah, I think that's great, and especially in this day and age where, the majority of clients coming in, there's such a change where, they don't fit the apparently healthy model that, personal trainers are meant to be working with. So I think this is a great topic that I love talking about with, muscle imbalances and injuries and assessments and how we can help our clients to best, you know, if not completely eliminate them, well, what can we do to greatly reduce some of the aches and pains that they're going through so we can make, you know, a bigger impact on their life and help them improve the quality of their life?
Oh,
so
definitely.
Speaking of that, you know, what I wanted to ask you was then, in your opinion, Rick, what are some of the most common or some of the most troublesome muscle imbalances related to the upper body that you've seen over the years?
You know, probably the biggest one ends up being like in the shoulder, in the front part of the shoulder, the anterior part of the shoulder. That ends up being a big issue. So a lot of times it'll be, you know, tightness in the front of the shoulder and weakness in the back of the shoulder. So looking at addressing that tightness in the front of the shoulder, a lot of times it's, you know, pectoralis minor that ends up being tight and needs to be lengthened out or stretched out. But along with the stretching, there needs to be some self-massage that ends up occurring in order to loosen up any adhesions that are in the muscle, to kind of address any overactive tissue that's within the muscle so that you get loosening up in that front of the chest. And then also kind of looking in the back, that mid-back, working on activating and building the endurance of like mid-traps, and then also, you know, looking to see if you need to work on rhomboid strength. So that ends up being the primary one for sure. And then another one ends up being looking in the neck area. So with more and more of these, you know, more and more of these computer devices, so we kind of went from computers and laptops, and now we've got smartphones and tablets. And as we kind of get more and more of these devices, they put different stresses on our necks. So looking at like a typical desktop computer, that put a fair bit of stress on the neck. And now if you kind of look at tablets that kind of prop up like a book off the table, they end up putting even more stress on the neck because you're having to tilt down and look at the tablet. So that ends up putting a lot of stress on the back of the neck and tightness in the back of the neck, which can end up leading to, it can end up leading to like headaches, you know, neck pain. And then also from the back of the neck, looking in the front of the neck, a lot of times the deep neck flexors are not active and lack the strength and endurance to kind of balance out the head. So those end up being two of them. And then one third one that I find isn't discussed very much and is important is the breathing aspect of it, dealing with breathing and linking breathing to movement. So those would be my three big ones that I would kind of talk about.
Yeah, and it's interesting with that because, you know, it sounds like, you know, from what you're talking about a little bit, how, you know, things with the shoulder can lead to the neck problems, or maybe neck problems can lead to shoulder problems. But all in all, that when we get imbalances in, you know, one area of the body, it's amazing how all the other bodies, either or the areas above or below it or both, are affected.
Oh, very true. Very true. Exactly like what you said. A lot of times if we kind of, you know, if there is a shoulder issue, a lot of times it'll end up affecting the neck. And if there is a neck issue, a lot of times it ends up being affecting the shoulder. And then if we kind of expand things a little bit more, a lot of times if there's a pelvis issue or pelvic tightness or glute weakness, that ends up affecting the lower back. And if there's a lower back issue, that ends up affecting the mid-back, and then we have the shoulder, and then we have the neck. So it all ends up kind of compounding and affecting each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because I think, you know, most people would, when they get in injury or, you know, resulting from these imbalances, and then it'll start in one area, and then as it progresses, like from, you know, you can have a neck injury, and then it leads to some kind of shoulder dysfunction and pain, and then maybe that goes on, and you know, there could be immobility issues maybe at the shoulder that force them to overcompensate through the lumbar spine, and then you have back problems. But then, you know, a lot of times people aren't seeing a link with that. They think that these are just completely unrelated injuries, but it's like you're saying, everything really ties in.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true.
So now, how do you go about maybe either identifying or assessing either a particular muscle imbalance of the upper body or certain muscle imbalances? How do you go about identifying and assessing those?
Yeah, how I end up looking at it is, you know, a first assessment would be like a postural assessment, like a static postural assessment, and looking to see if the body is in good alignment when the person is in standing, kind of looking from the front, from the side, from behind, to see if the body's in good alignment, if there's areas when it comes to looking at the muscles, if there's areas that look like they're overactive. So you might see that in the neck, sometimes in the shoulders, some of the upper traps will be overactive. Or if you can see areas where there isn't much muscle tone, and that could be like in the mid-back. With some people, you can feel that there's not much muscle tone in the mid-back. So I would end up starting off with that. The second thing is I would end up kind of getting them go through like a movement assessment. So getting them to go through some movements in their neck, you know, range of motion movements, shoulder movements, mid-back movements, back movements, like lower back movements and hip movements, to get an idea if the joints are moving through good ranges of motion. And then the third thing would be is I would end up getting them to do like whole body movements. And these would be movements that would relate to, you know, typical exercise that we would do. Like, how are they when it comes to rowing bilaterally? How are they when it comes to unilaterally rowing? How are they when it comes to, like, doing a pushing movement? How are they when it comes to unilaterally pushing? And then if we bring in the lower body into it, you can look at, you know, squatting and lunging and how are they with those movements. So those are the kind of the three primary ways that I would end up assessing and looking for muscle imbalances.
Yeah, I think that's great. And that's big because you hit on, you know, the functional movement patterns that we are doing all the time, not just in the gym, but in our everyday lives. And you talk about, you know, pulling and pushing and squatting and then unilateral movement patterns, because there is, you know, even the majority of the movements that we're doing on our feet in terms of the lower body are unilateral anyway. So it's just really interesting, but it's great that you hit on, you know, looking at your assessments and identifying muscle imbalances within everyday movement patterns that we use.
Yeah, definitely.
So now we're going through from assessments and everything, and now we're talking or getting into, let's say that you identified a muscle imbalance in somebody. Maybe we could even start with something at the shoulder, and maybe you could talk about a particular muscle imbalance and what exercises or an exercise that you would recommend to help correct it.
Okay. I mean, if we kind of look at the example that I was kind of talking about, like the tight shoulder, and a lot of times we end up seeing it from, and it could be because people are doing, you know, computer work or driving a fair bit. They tend to be rounded through that thoracic spine, so the mid-back. The shoulder tends to be forward. Their head tends to be forward. A lot of times what they're feeling is tightness in the back of the neck, stiffness in the mid-back. They might have tight muscles in the upper shoulders or in the neck. And so what I would end up doing there is a lot of times I'll start off with a self-massage, and it's I would end up getting them to use a ball, so it's like a tennis ball or a dog ball or lacrosse ball, and just kind of to massage out that chest area and kind of move the ball around that chest area in order to kind of find areas that are sensitive or tight. And they can just press with their hand and roll the ball, and then they can end up progressing to pressing that ball up against the wall and then moving the ball around the wall and changing the position that it is on the chest. And then the next step I would end up doing is adding some, you know, stretching or flexibility side of things that end up targeting that chest area. So it might be like a doorway stretch, a 90-90 doorway stretch, so where your forearm is straight up, your elbow is bent at 90, and your arm is just below shoulder height, and then you're kind of stepping through the doorway or the wall looking for a stretch in the front of the chest. And then one thing that I'll get people to do that. And then the next stretch would end up being is just adding a little bit of a twist. So rotating the trunk a little bit away from the arm in order to target pec minor a bit better, in order to target it when it comes to the flexibility side. And then we'd end up kind of going to the activation side of things, so waking up the muscles. So a lot of times we'll end up being weak when it comes to mid traps and low traps. So we'll do some work that targets those muscles, which will end up helping waking them up and building the endurance of those muscles. And then we would probably go into the rowing movements to kind of work on the larger muscle groups in that mid-back, so like rhomboids and lats. So that's what I would end up doing. What's happening is, depending on what the client's goal is, it's not like they're going to have to do an hour or two, like muscle imbalance exercise program. It's just adding tweaks to the exercise program that they're doing right now. They might need to, for a period of time, let's say 4 weeks, focus on something a little bit more and focus on something a little less for a period of time. So that's what I would end up doing when it comes to targeting the shoulder. And then the next step would be, looking at how they are when it relates to the breathing side of things and if the breathing pattern is correct.
Okay. So, you mentioned that before about the breathing, and that's something that it's interesting that you talk about that, because I had just recently, within the last month, I've really been learning a lot about breathing and the importance of it, and I'm wondering if there's maybe a little bit about that you could explain to our listeners, maybe a little bit more about either what you look at that or maybe the importance of the breathing.
Mm-hmm. Probably the most basic thing is that you're not getting much chest movement. The chest ends up not moving, and what ends up moving is mainly the abdomen, or like the belly. The belly ends up being the one moving. So your chest isn't elevating up. Your ribs aren't elevating out to the side. It's mainly the abdominal area that's kind of expanding and relaxing. So in the most simplest sense, that's what would end up being. Now, of course, it ends up varying. Let's say they've done a heavy workout, or if they're doing intervals or something, then they're going to have to bring in those accessory muscles in order to breathe harder. But we're talking about if they're doing the exercises focusing on the mid traps or lower traps, those aren't exercises that are super rigorous and really challenging the cardiovascular system. They're kind of targeting specific muscles so they can integrate that breathing with those exercises to target those areas.
Yeah, and I think that's so important with, particularly nowadays. It's interesting because I'm actually finishing up writing a book, and the book's called The Stress-Free Diet, and what I'm addressing in this book is the four main types of stress and how they're affecting people from not just a weight loss standpoint, but also from an injury standpoint, and they get nagging aches and pains. And one of the things that I was talking about in there had to do with the relationship between stress and excessive muscle tension. And then, what happens with most people is, when you get really, really angry or really, really tense, how you're breathing, it starts to become really, really shallow, right? We're not breathing deep like you were talking into the lungs and expanding into the belly, and it becomes really shallow and really restricted. And, oxygen's such an important part of this whole puzzle, and that's essential for life, but, we need it to travel through the body and get into the cells and everything. And even a lack of oxygen, I think, can really contribute just to a lot of, the things with headaches and tension-related problems and aches and pains.
Oh, I very much so. I mean, a lot of times when it comes to the tight muscles, there ends up being poor circulation that ends up happening in that muscle. Tension ends up building up in that muscle. Then they end up having pain. Oh, it's definitely, definitely the circulation side of things plays a role.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And circulation, which ends up kind of overlapping with when it comes to the muscle being oxygenated.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something that I'm glad that you touched on that. It's really important, and it's so easy to overlook it. You know, even as fitness professionals, you know, we tend to look a lot at the movement patterns our clients are doing, and you know, we get so tied up into kind of the physical or the more I don't know if the right word, but external related stuff, and without looking at something like so important as breathing and assessing that as well. Yeah, and that, you know, one of the interesting exercises that I found worked really well that tied into people with issues related to neck tightness, so upper trap tightness, or just a dominance of the muscles up there, or if they had, you know, shoulder immobility or tightness like you were talking about in the anterior portion. I like to do what I call a prone W, where I'll just turn them over on their stomach, and you could either do it on the floor or you could do it on a stability ball, but I'll just turn them right over and have them, you know, dig their toes into the ground, start with their arms bent, you know, elbows bent, and arms at their side. So it's, if you imagine it, if you were looking down at the person from above, from like the ceiling level, they would be making a W with their arms through their body. And then so all I have them do there is bring their arms, elbows, hands, everything up, you know, just about 2 inches off the floor, and then retract those shoulder blades so it's like they're pulling their elbows in their back pockets and then getting all those scapular stabilizing muscles locked in, and then just working through a simple press pattern where they're pressing in a line almost like through their ears toward until their arms go straight out in front of them. And just keeping those arms off the floor, keeping the chest up a little bit off the floor, and then going through that pull pattern every time that they push to keep the shoulder blades locked in, and then every time they pull, the cue I give them is pull your elbows into your back pockets, which really I found it helps not only activate the weak muscles in the upper and mid back, but also when you're pulling down and the upper traps and even the levator muscles start to lengthen out a little bit as well. So I found that it gives them a good kind of active release as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. That's great. Well, Rick, so anybody real quick before we actually, I wanted to get into something because I wanted to talk about before we go. It was about a year, maybe a little bit over a year ago or so, you know, you asked me to be one of the presenters on a product that you had put out called Muscle Imbalances Revealed. And the thing that I loved about it was, you know, I remembered in 2000 when I started doing training, and you know, I was getting really frustrated because I had, you know, people coming in, like I was talking about, who were looking for some kind of injury relief of some sort to achieve their fitness goals. And at the time, there really wasn't a whole lot of information out there. I mean, there was the personal trainer certification courses that were teaching the basic gym exercises, you know, but leg presses and push-ups and trunk curl-up tests and all those and cardiovascular testing weren't enough to help these clients out. So it was really nice, you know, because it took me literally years and years of just, you know, taking workshops and reading different books and going through research papers as much as I could to get just bits and pieces of information, but nothing put the whole picture together. And so it was nice because when, you know, you asked me to present on Muscle Imbalances Revealed, you know, there was just a group of experts that were there who were just sharing their knowledge on corrective exercises that they use and assessments that they were using and just basically a whole plan for how to not only assess muscle imbalances, but how to deal with them, how to correct them for our clients. And so I was wondering if you could just tell people a little bit about, you know, a little bit more about the program and then, you know, what you've been up to lately with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so with that one, that kind of ended up focusing, you know, mainly on the lower body side of things. And it was really cool because it was kind of targeted to the fitness professional to kind of help them have a better understanding when it comes to muscle imbalances, because very much like you, you know, what I was taught was a lot of the focusing in on, you know, strength, flexibility, cardiovascular, but when I have these clients that have injuries or need to overcome their injuries or prevent their injuries or improve their results that they're getting from fitness, I found that something was missing, and one of the thing that was missing was the addressing the muscle imbalances. So I brought together a bunch of people, you know, different experts from different areas to kind of contribute their, you know, tips, tricks, and exercises when it comes to muscle imbalances, and you were one of the contributors that, you know, shared everything. But then we also had like a physical therapist and like a strength coach and a post-rehab specialist and a corrective exercise specialist that all kind of contributed, which was really cool. And the response from Muscle Imbalances Revealed, the lower body edition, was very good. It was targeted to the fitness professional, but ended up finding that it ended up helping, you know, exercise enthusiasts, healthcare professionals, and strength coaches, which is really cool. And I was getting feedback from people that was taking the program that they wanted more, that they wanted, you know, more information, and if I could provide more information when it comes to the upper body. So I put together a group of people to address the upper body. So Muscle Imbalances Revealed, the upper body edition, ended up coming out, and it, once again, I brought in a bunch of contributors that kind of focused in on the upper body, and they shared their experience when it comes to, you know, training athletes and training throwing athletes and, you know, working with various athletes in different professions, you know, training clients, the rehab clients. And we kind of put this product together that focused in on all of that and helping the exercise enthusiast, you know, improve the exercise enthusiast, the fitness professional, and the healthcare professional kind of improve their results when it came to rehab, training results, and performance results, especially in the upper body. And that's just kind of come out a couple days ago, and the initial response has been really good. People have been really liking it and the information that we've been giving them to kind of focus in on that upper body and improve the rehab and training and the performance when it comes to the upper body. So that's just come out, the Muscle Imbalances Revealed, the upper body edition.
Nice. That's very good. Yeah, I think that was a great compliment to the lower body, and, you know, for the same things. I mean, one, this is the direction that, you know, fitness has been needing to move into, and, mm-hmm. you know, to put something out there and to have a panel of experts in, you know, all of these different experts in different areas and sharing, you know, their methodologies with everybody and how they have, you know, helped their clients out. I mean, it's just really an incredible product. So mm-hmm. I'm definitely glad that you did that. So if anybody was interested in getting more information from you, either about what we talked about, muscle imbalances, or just information in general, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, if people want to get a hold of me, they can go through my blog. So exercisesforinjuries.com, head over there. They can get more information about myself. They can, you know, look at all the tons of information when it comes to exercises for various injuries. You know, my products are there. My upcoming live courses are there, so they can get more information. And if they wanted more information on Muscle Imbalances Revealed, if they head to muscleimbalancesrevealed.com, there's information there on the lower body edition, and if they want information on the upper body edition, they just go to muscleimbalancesrevealed.com/upper-body. It's just come out, so it's a little bit, the URL is a little bit complicated. I'll make it, I'll probably move everything on to muscleimbalancesrevealed.com.
All right, sounds good. And also there's continuing education credits that they can get from at least from the lower body one too, right?
Oh, yeah, with the lower body one, I mean, that's what people really liked, is that they can get continuing education credits and continuing education units for a variety of associations for the lower body, but I'm also working to make that happen for the upper body as well.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's great, Rick. I thank you so much for spending the time that you have with us and, you know, helping us better understand a lot of these muscle imbalances and how we can not only identify them but help our clients correct them as well. So I really just want to thank you for taking the time. This is a great interview.
Okay. I mean, thank you very much for allowing me to share, and I hope your listeners got some benefit from the information.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rick, and we'll hopefully we'll hook up again and talk real soon.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.